time. The silent herald of life and death. Success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes. The 11th hour.
London. Lovely, dusty, dirty, romantic London. The smoky sunsets from Westminster Bridge. The proud cupola of St. Paul's high over the city. And the nights. Shops, theatre crowds, and the strange gaiety of that fabulous grey city. London. How I loved it. And out of the fog, the grey swirling fog in Oxford Street just before you get to Marble Arch, came a face and a love, which I have lost forever. There was a dark, blind shop window with an alcove, and as I walked past, came the voice.
Hello. Have you got a match?
A gamine face, small, pert, with enormous dark eyes, dark hair pulled back in a ponytail.
Oh, yes, I think so.
Thank you.
And it was as I held the match for her that I saw the knife and a hand holding the knife. A hand with extraordinarily long fingers. A hand to remember. Whoever it was in the alcove and I couldn't see him, only that hand and the glitter of the knife. The point pressing against the girl's back.
Would you like a few matches in case you run short?
Thank you.
An old trick, but an effective one that I'd learned to use in France before D-Day. All the matches flare, 50. Throw them around the alcove where the man's face must be. Pull the girl towards me to the side. The man's face a blur. Grab for him, but he's as slippery as an eel.
Alfred!
No! No, please. Please leave him alone.
Well, if that's the way you want it. Are you all right?
Yes.
What is all this? What's going on?
Nothing.
Nothing?
He was a friend of mine.
A friend?
Oh, please. Thank you, but I'm all right.
Well, you don't look very well. There's a little cafe along here. Come and have a cup of coffee or something.
Thank you. Thank you, I will.
Walking along Oxford Street. The girl beside me is utterly charming. Attractive. Her eyes are haunted by fear, but that doesn't mask over the delight I feel dawning in me. We go into the cafe. Bigger than I thought. We find a table, sit down. Beautiful girls, knives, and improsaic old London. There's nothing like fog to bring out the romantic. What happened back there?
Nothing, really.
Look, threatening knives in backs isn't nothing.
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, there must be.
And I don't want to talk to you if you want to talk about it.
Oh.
Thank you very much, but the episode is now closed. Let me look at the menu.
And the episode was closed. For her. But not for me. As we chatted, I found, as scent is inescapable, so was her attraction. A glance from her, it seemed to me, bore into my very soul, as a thirsty man in the desert clings to his bottled water. So was I determined never to let her go. Silly. Maybe. But the angels sing but once, and hearing them, the man is a fool to stop his ears.
Thank you. That was very nice. Now I must go.
But I'll see you again.
I've a lot to do.
Please.
I'd rather you didn't see me again. I know it sounds melodramatic to you, but, well, if you do, something awful might happen to
me. Well, let me see you home. Nothing awful can happen between here and there, surely.
All right. But I'll never see you again after that.
All right. And so it was. We got up and left that rather ordinary cafe that had suddenly become glamorous to me. The fog had lifted, the streets were damp. And I don't think I've ever seen London more attractive at night. We got to Hyde Park Corner, we're turning down Park Lane, when it happened.
Oh, well, look at those cars.
It's quite a smash.
Well, perhaps somebody's hurt.
I'll go and see. Two small cars had collided. A wing was bent, but nobody was hurt. I went back to where I'd left her. And all London was empty. Oxford Street and Park Lane and Hyde Park itself, empty and forlorn and comfortless. Dismal in rain and nowhere, though I ran this way, back up that way, nowhere was there any sign of the girl that I had, for a few brief hours, fallen in love with. Love. An emotion nobody has been able to describe because it's beyond words. In an agony, I searched. Night after night in Oxford Street, Piccadilly, St. James's, everywhere, I just thought I might get a glimpse of her. Nothing. London was a dreary desert, and I hated it. And then, one night, I walked till I lost myself. I didn't know where I was. But in passing a doorway, I saw a policeman. Oh, excuse me, officer, can you tell me how I can get to Berkeley Square?
Berkeley Square, well, now.
Oh, if you can tell me where I am now.
Chelsea, sir, yes, yes, Chelsea.
Ah, can I get a bus from here?
Let's see, I'll look it up in my book.
Not a very bright policeman. He produced a book and was thumbing through the pages when I saw his hands. They were the hands, one of them, that had held the knife in that Oxford Street shop. I'm not an imaginative chap, but I was ready to swear that was the hand of a man. Long, attenuated fingers with blunt tips. I'd know them anywhere.
Yes, sir. 159, you want? Now, if you
will... Do you know a girl? Big eyes, very attractive, with a hair tied in a ponytail. A young girl...
I beg your pardon, sir.
Now, look. There was a girl in a shop doorway, and I was...
Are you drunk, sir?
Certainly not.
You better be on your way.
Look, you do know that girl. You were holding a knife.
Very well, then. If you won't go, I'll have to take you in, won't I?
No, it's all right. I must have made a mistake.
London isn't safe nowadays, even for a policeman.
Of course, I'd made a mistake. Anyway, he was right about one thing. I did catch that bus. When I got back to my apartment, there was a letter. Some literary circle. I'd promised my publisher I'd give them a talk. Well, ladies and gentlemen, though my pretensions to being an author are small, I'll ask you to bear with me until I get my notes in order. I'm a terrible public speaker, and I always do get my notes mixed up. It was whilst I was sorting them out, I saw her, the girl. She was sitting in the audience. As I saw her, she saw me. I saw her leave her seat and make for the door. There was a door on the platform beside me. I dashed for it. I knew it led round. I didn't care what the audience thought. I caught her in the corridor. Darling...
Let go of me. How dare you follow me like this?
You came to this meeting.
I didn't know it was you.
It's advertised at the door.
I have to go. Please let go of my arm.
You can't go. Not until you tell me who you are. And what's going on?
Oh, nothing's going
on. Oh, yes, it is. A man threatens you with a knife. You run away when I help you. And last night, I met a policeman, and he had exactly the same hand as that man had. Now, look, tell me. What's your name?
Laura.
And what's happening? What's going on?
Please leave me alone. You've no right to question me.
Oh, yes, I have. Laura, I'm in love with you.
Oh, that's silly. You've only just met me.
Maybe, but I've fallen in love with you. I don't know how this happened. And you've fallen in love with me, too. Haven't you? Haven't you?
No.
Haven't you?
Mr. Masters, the members are waiting for you, and I really must insist that you continue your talk.
Can you read?
Of course.
Speak?
Yes.
Here are my notes. Read them and speak them. I'm going. So we were out in the London streets again. The lovely London streets that had suddenly become gay and bright again. Laura?
Hmm?
You promised me something.
No.
Oh, all right, I won't probe into your affairs. So long as you'll see me again.
Well, I suppose I can see you.
When?
Tomorrow.
Done.
Well, somewhere quiet, somewhere we won't be seen.
The ballet, Covent Garden. I'll get a box. And you promise. Swear you won't stand me up again.
All right. I'll swear.
Happiness. We have it, sing with it, enjoy it. But we don't even know we have it till it's gone. I was in love. Laura was in love with me and the world sang. And the present was all we wanted. But even in my happiness, I knew that there was an ominous dark. Something. A hand and a dagger. A policeman. And strange behavior, even as I could look into Laura's eyes and say, "Lady, your love is showing." Love and the Ballet. Stage box and the ballet was beautiful. The music, the sweeping, dancing music that pulsed in our blood as we sat and watched. Color, movement, and the wonderful world of imagination. And both of us entranced one with the other, as much as with the music. Enjoying it?
Lovely.
Will you come to more shows with me?
I'd like to. We'll see.
Please.
I don't know.
Laura, marry me.
I can't.
Because? Because of the man, the dagger?
You said you wouldn't ask me.
I must, can't you see? I'm in love with you. I've got a right to know what it's all about.
All right, I'll tell you.
Yes?
Someday.
Laura, I've got to know. I can't go on not knowing.
You said you wanted to marry me.
I do. I love you.
Well, then?
But you can't just love someone. Love becomes a torture if you don't know who he is, what happened. What is happening? Is it somebody else you love?
No.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Well, then tell me what's behind all this. Why you're so frightened, evasive.
Watch the stage, Perry.
Out of love, if you're not careful, comes a monster. A green-eyed monster of jealousy. So it came to me sitting there watching the ballet. Love is a torture, and you yourself the torturer. Who was she seeing? Who was this man? I loved her to complete oblivion of sense or reason. I loved her in a possessive cloud, a blindness. How often we blunder in the darkness of desire and kill that which we would possess. You're seeing this man, aren't you? Now, who is he? Is he your...
Perry, don't search. You'll find it'll be all right in the end.
But what was he doing with a knife? What was he doing in that doorway? And the policeman. I may be a fool, but I can recognize hands, and that policeman had the same hand. Those long fingers, the blunt tops. It was him. I know it was.
I'm going.
No, please.
I can't stay if you're going to search and question. Love is a trust, you know that.
Yes, I know.
I'm taking a risk meeting you as it is.
But why? Oh, I'm sorry, I won't mention it again.
Look, if he sees us, there are things, emotions that people can't control. They're bigger than them.
Ah, so he is your lover?
No. Oh, be quiet, I want to watch the ballet.
She looked so lovely, tragically lovely sitting there. I longed to protect her, look after her, solve her troubles. And yet another part of me had a sort of hate of her. If only she'd tell me what the mystery was. If only she... Well, there's no fool like an impatient fool. Laura.
Yes?
Will you marry me?
Oh, Perry, I've said...
Now. It must be now. We'll get a special license, go to a registry office. Darling, marry me now.
Oh, but Perry...
Now.
All right.
You will?
Yes, if If you give me £200.
200?
Yes.
But
you asked me.
Well, yes, I know. But 200, that's a lot of money.
I need it.
Now?
In cash.
All right. I haven't got 200 in cash, but I'll give you a check.
That'll do.
Now? You mean right here?
Yes.
All right. I had my checkbook with me. I found a pen. I was shaking in a kind of fury, an insane one, as if I loved Laura and I did. Giving her the check was but a small matter. I put the book down on the plush ledge in front of me and started writing. The date, the pay. As I glanced over to my left, I saw a hand. It was lying in the self-same place as my checkbook, only in the next box to ours. Come on.
Where are we going?
Out of here.
But why, Perry? The ballet, don't you want to
look.
See it?
Look there. Oh. Without another word, she got her wrap and we left. We hurried down the corridor, down the stairs and out of the theatre. The night was cool. London was at its best, but I could see nothing, think of nothing, but getting away from that hand. That hand. We were hurrying along. Laura had to trot every now and then to keep up with me. For I had a fancy that the man with that hand was following us. Streets and markets and traffic. And then houses and pubs. And the smell of ships. Low water and dampness.
Oh, stop, Harry. I can't go any further. I can't.
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I was rather loping along.
You must listen to me. It isn't as it seems. It is.
That man. But what is this? A cheap, nasty way of getting money from me? £200. And I thought when I saw you in that doorway...
Oh,
that
stop,
you
were... Harry, stop.
I'm sorry, but you can't blame me, you know. If you'd only tell me, explain...
You wouldn't understand if I did. You wouldn't, Perry, honestly.
No, probably not. Where are we?
It's like the river, Perry. It's secret and dark, too. But it has to run its course no matter what.
And is £200 your course?
I'm cold.
Oh, here, have my coat. No, get right into it. Oh, that damp, damp, miserable place.
Perry, I have a brother. I'm very fond of him. I have, Perry, and...
And?
There was an accident.
Oh, what sort of accident?
Well, somebody was killed. You see, well, Robert's awfully jealous, and... Well, this man was dead, Perry, and I... Well, we had to get Robert away. You do understand that, don't you? Perry, you don't understand. Believe me. Well, we found a sort of escape route so the police wouldn't know, and that's why... I want to earn money. Money to get him away. £200. And he said if he found me earning money that way, he'd kill me. So I tried, but he was there, and you... You don't believe me, do you?
All right. I'll give you the £200 and then we'll call it quits, huh?
Goodbye, Perry.
You really can't expect me to buy a story like that. What about the policeman?
But that's the way. A policeman passing down one side of a road hardly glances at another policeman. We got the uniform and he's... Well, you see, he had to get away from where he was and...
So he goes to the ballet?
But you don't understand. I said he was jealous. He's brought me up. Goodbye, Perry.
Goodbye, Laura. A man's a fool. We torture ourselves by trying to be reasonable, and so we lose. Lose all the time. We have what we want, and then we smash it, destroy it. I loved Laura, but her fantastic story, really... And so I walked away. I'll remember that dismal, dreary street down by the London docks to the end of my life. Walking along it, leaving Laura while half of me wanted to rush back, explain, kiss, do anything to explain my behavior. The other half? Well, it kept me walking. Walking on and on, further and further away. And then...
Laura! Laura!
I was running.
The wind and the night and Laura lying huddled on the pavement, running whilst nameless things tore and yelled at me. Fool! Fool! A flash of the man, her brother Robert, the man who had been the policeman. A knife in his hand, looking down at Laura. My coat. My coat. Laura wearing it. The dark, his sudden jump and the slash of the coat he thought I was wearing. He was running, flying. Come back! Come back! His figure swallowed up by the dark. Then, glaring in white with black letters, danger. Dry dock empty. Catwalk not closed. Come back! Come back! The night was empty. Dead. And so was he. Well, Robert would be jealous no longer and threaten with no more knives. He would kill no more people. Laura. Laura. Ambulance. A phone. There must be a phone somewhere.
Hello.
Hello. Like that first time. There must be something, somebody to help us.
Darling.
It's all right, Laura. I'll get help. I'll find somebody.
It was nice knowing you, Perry.
Oh, don't talk that way, Laura. Help! Help! They're coming. Somebody's coming. We'll be all right now.
Perry, hold me. Hold me tight, darling.
Yes, darling.
Perry, will you do something for me?
Of course, of course.
Hold me close. Hold me close till I'm dead. I don't want to die alone.
Laura. Laura. I held her close. I in the dark and Laura. We were alone at last. Down by the docks in a mean little London street. London. Its sunsets from Westminster Bridge, the proud dome of St. Paul's, London parks, London streets. I wander down them, wander up them. I'm not looking, but I'm always hoping I'll hear that.
Hello. Have you got a match?
That I can always hear so distinctly in my mind. And see a pair of enormous eyes in a little gamine face to which I can say again, Lady, your love is showing.
Time. The silent herald of life and death. Success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.